Good afternoon. This is Devin Campanella, host of Woodland Stars Radio. Here at Woodland Stars, we believe that every human on the planet has the power to use their thoughts to change events in the mundane world. This show is all about learning how to gain control of that creative process. So let's get started. My co-host is Ryan Scher. Hi, Ryan. Any new insights this afternoon about getting started in a new net radio show?
Hi, Nevin. No, I think we've both done radio before, and net radio seems to be pretty much the same. I think we're going to have a wonderful show. Did you tell them yet what we're going to be covering tonight?
Not yet. I think maybe that's a pretty good place to start. Folks, this radio show is our very first Woodland Stars radio show on BBS. And everything got kind of created, probably within the past 3 to 4 weeks. I started a radio show on another station, became more interested, and decided to give Don a call, and went back to BBS. Now, some of you may remember a show that I did about a year and a half ago called What a World Radio. And there's an archive on BBS all about What a World Radio. But the actual advent of Woodland Stars Radio seemed almost haphazard. I just kind of had a bug about maybe I should get back involved in radio. I always enjoyed it. And I thought, well, let's see what I can do. So I kind of skipped around the net, found a station, jumped on, did some talk here and there. And I kind of decided, all right, maybe it's time to really get professional about this. Actually, there's kind of a funny story behind it. When I first started, this was on Blog Talk Radio. I really didn't know what I was doing with the equipment, which is quite different than BBS radio. And I was getting into a lot of trouble on that first show. Ryan was sitting out there, kind of out in the audience as a listener. I thought he was part of the station. He jumped on and kind of bailed me out in terms of trying to get through some of the equipment problems I was having.
It wasn't quite that heroic, but yeah, okay.
Well, we had... I had an enormous amount of problems. The first problem was I was dealing with Skype, and eventually I'll probably be structuring this show around Skype. It's a good system as long as it doesn't drop out, but I was having problems making Skype work, and also I was having a heck of a problem with the software that was used to control the show, and that is to get listeners on the line. On BTR, the host does all that. Well, I have such a small screen. I kept chasing these icons all around the screen. Anyway, make a long story short, Ryan jumps on and says, hey, guys, maybe I can help you out here. So he kind of literally bailed me out, and it worked very well. Within a couple of weeks, we got to discussing what it is we both really wanted to do. And, Ryan, why don't you tell them a little bit about how we got together?
Well, pretty much what Nevin said. I heard him out there on BTR, and I jumped in and talked to him. And I think for about the last half hour of the show, it was an hour show, and for the last half hour, we had a really good show. We covered some good material, and we enjoyed ourselves. And we got to talking after that about him possibly doing some shows with me on BTR, and me possibly doing some shows with him, and then we found that it just wasn't professional enough, you know, so we wanted to find somebody that could do a professional show for us, and that's when Nevin had mentioned BBS, and I had listened to some of his archives, and he asked if I would co-host with him, and I graciously and gladly accepted. I thought, wonderful, and so here we are today, and we're covering some stuff on BBS.
Yeah, BBS is a very sophisticated system. I was around at the time when Don Newsom first decided that he wanted to get involved in net radio. As a matter of fact, some of the listeners may not know. I was sitting there one day. We were talking about a forum, and then I mentioned to him, well, what about net radio? And Don is very fast, kind of like Ryan, who's also extremely quick. And within a matter of days, Don had a radio equipment. He had concepts. We got on the phone together. We talked to three or four people. And back in those days, it was only just a handful of us. But one thing led to another, and pretty soon Don had this entire network set up. And I started with What a World Radio. Now, the old What a World Radio show, I should cover that for a minute. It was basically a show in which I did constant interviews, searching around in the metaphysical arena, looking for people who would want to come on the show and discuss what it was they were doing. I enjoyed it. I really did. It was a fun thing to do, and of course, working in the metaphysical, it's always extremely interesting. But Woodland Stars Radio is not going to be that. Now, there are some similarities. I will have guests on the show, and some of them probably will be from the metaphysical area, but not necessarily. I think my orientation right now and how I feel about things is I would like to interview people, when appropriate, people who are in the real world out there doing real things, working very hard to make a change in a world that they view as kind of harsh and would like to help others. And those are the people that I'm trying to track down. People who actually get out there, roll up their shirt sleeves, and make a difference. Well, actually, I didn't feel I was making much of a difference in What a World Radio. I was having a lot of fun. With the interviews, I didn't really feel like I was impacting anything other than just providing some entertainment out on the net. I think at this point in my own life, I feel a need to actually get out there and do something that really will help others. And eventually I'll get around to how I'm going to do that. But before I do, Ryan, some of the people out there know about me, and I'm going to cover me in a bit, but I'd like to do a little interview on you first. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, give us some background. Who are you? Where are you from? What's going on in your life right now? And how did you wind up doing what you're doing right now?
Well, my name is Ryan Scher. I come from a background in law enforcement, broadcast radio, and web design, as well. I have an interest in the metaphysical and different religions that I study and things in there. I got involved in radio at a very young age I didn't get involved in radio. I got involved in DJing because I was 15 years old and I couldn't get a job. Nobody would give you a job in the state of Ohio, which is where I'm from. You have to be 16 to get a job, and so I couldn't get one, so I made one up because, you know, I thought, hey, I need a job.
What kind of job did you make up?
Well, I had been part of bands in my youth in high school and what have you, so what I did is I decided, okay, I'm going to be a DJ. So I took some of the equipment that I used for band, the amplifiers and PA systems, things like that, tape recorder, record player, and tapes, and by gosh, that was even before CDs. And I was going to be a DJ. So I actually did do quite a few weddings, private parties, things like that. And then it just kind of blossomed after that. I started getting into more of the beat mixing and things like that. So I worked the clubs around Zanesville and around Columbus, Ohio. And
well, that reminds me, where are you located right now?
Down in Columbus, Ohio. It's the capital of Ohio. So I did that for a while. I enjoyed it. I went to college for law enforcement, for criminal justice. Became a police officer. Did that for 12 years. Retired from the state police here in Ohio, and still continue to run my business. And I talk with Nevin on the radio, just like it says on our website.
And he did, folks. He actually put that down on the bios. And I talked to Nevin on the radio. Listen, there's a little bit more to Ryan's retirement, and I'd like you to cover that a little bit, Ryan.
Actually, it ties right into what we're talking about.
What caused your retirement? Why don't you cover that a little bit?
It was Christmas 2005. I was working in state police. I got a call that somebody was breaking into vehicles. Went to try and apprehend the suspect, found him, pulled him over, walked around, and he started yelling, "My kids, my kids." So I jumped out of the cruiser and ran around, and as soon as I did, I was right in his headlights. And he punched it, he hit the gas, tried to run me over. I dove out of the way, but I think the van must have caught my feet or something, but it twisted me all up, messed up my back, my shoulder, and my hip. So they first said it was a strain, back strain, and, you know, so I'd be out for a couple weeks, and so I was like, oh, okay, I can live with this. I'm going to play some video games and play on the Internet, and I'll be back in no time. And 2 weeks turned into 6 weeks, 6 weeks turned into a year turned into 18 months, 2 years, and finally they said, you know what, we're sorry, buddy, you're not going to make it back, you know. So right now I'm waiting on a back surgery for a disc replacement and probably a shoulder for rotator cuff surgery. So they're going to try and piece me back together, bigger and badder than I used to be, I understand. But what makes it...
by the way, folks, Ryan is a big guy. We're talking about a very big man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not pushing 450 and I eat a bunch of bonbons, but I'm relatively tall and have some girth. So the way it ties into what we're talking about, which we're going to be talking about creating your own reality, and I'll let Nevin cover more of that, but the way it fits into that, ever since I was 16 years old, I have told people I'm going to retire when I'm 35. And, I mean, every day, every time somebody would say something about a job or something, I'd say, yeah, well, I'm going to retire when I'm 35. And they'd just laugh at me. Yeah, okay. I'm like, no, I'm going to retire when I'm 35. Well, as luck has it, at 35, I did retire. And now, when I was planning it in my head, the whole getting hit by a van, and I had a whole heck of a lot more money, you know, when I had planned it. But I did, in fact, plan my retirement from age 16. I told people I would retire at 65 or at 35, and it sure enough did come true.
And it happened. Yeah. You know, folks, I mean, there is an example of a thought going out from the mundane world and making a change. And Ryan did it. He probably did not know the dynamics of it, but this is what happens to all of us. And sometimes, and we have a tendency to call it a coincidence. There are no coincidences. Everything happens for a reason, and you are the reason. Nothing happens without your approval. You do it all. Listen, I'm going to take a little break here and give out a number. Anyone who wants to call in, please do. Our call-in number is 877-270-8714. Now, that's the U.S. only. We do have a line for Canada, which is 888-228-4494. Well, and you have a very varied background, and once you wound up retired, I mean, you know, you have to make a living. How did you get involved in what you're doing right now? Why don't you describe Level 5?
Level 5 Development Group is a web design, web hosting, maintenance, domain registration, SSL, just about anything that has to do with the web, we do it. And myself and an old Army buddy of mine, Rob Minio, got together and said, hey, you know, we've been doing this web stuff for years. Let's put together a company. Let's do it. So we've actually been in business since 2000, so it wasn't a surprise. Even when I was a police officer, we still had the company and had it running. But I put more time into it after I retired, and then, you know, I'm always used to having a couple jobs, so I said to myself, you know, we really ought to do a radio show, you know, bring back the old days. And
folks, this is what you call an overachiever. I mean, people like us can't stop. We keep creating and creating until it makes us nuts. Go ahead.
Right. So what I did is I got an account with Blog Talk Radio, and we do a show on there called The Hard Truth, and basically it started out as a politically motivated thing where myself and Rob would interview candidates and talk about, hey, you know, this is what's wrong with the world and this is what's going on. And as part of the show, I'd like to go out and find other hosts and other guests, just as Nevin does, and that's how we wound up hooking up, because I was listening to his. I also have a knack for the paranormal and like talking about it and believe very strongly in a lot of what we're going to be telling you and talking with you about today and throughout the weeks to come. And so I was listening to the show, and there he was, and they were having a little bit of trouble, and I thought, hey, I can do this, you know. So I got on there, and like I said, with the last half hour, I think we had a great show, you know. I mean, it was entertaining, it was engaging, and people liked it, so.
Actually, folks, it was a little bit like a dress rehearsal for this show, creating your own reality. That's what I was doing the show about.
But I was not wearing a dress. I'd like to just put that out there.
Well, let's get to what the foundation of this show is about.
All right.
Oh, and basically, it comes down to this for me. I wanted to produce something that people could actually take in hand and actually use. In other words, almost, I don't want to make it a class setting. I spent many years as a professor at universities, so on and so forth. By the way, I guess I should cover that for a second. I have a PhD in psychology, took a postdoctoral degree, application of computer science to social services, spent 25 years in clinical services, and I walked away from it in 1994. I had had enough. I found the formality of professional life too restrictive, and I just simply walked away. Got an RV, and my wife and I, from 1994, just kind of like traveled around and had a damn good time. So basically my background is, yeah, I'm a psychologist, or was, and I try to avoid it now as much as possible, unless somebody tells me, oh, gee, you know, my kid is doing this or that, and I try to ignore the conversation. creating your own reality. We're all doing it every moment of every day. I mean, there is no such thing. First of all, folks, there is no such thing as not creating your own reality. That is the very first thing you have to understand. We create constantly. That's what we do. We are machines that create. We cannot not create. Every waking moment and every sleeping moment, we are creating. Sometimes we don't always like what we create, but you cannot turn it off. You cannot turn your thoughts off. You cannot turn that creating off. What many of us don't know is how to control it. How can we actually make a decision, a conscious decision, about creating our own reality? Well, let's get started in some basic concepts. At the very beginning of the show, I said in the introduction, every human on the planet has the power to use their thoughts to change events in the mundane world. And I really mean that. I'm not just saying that. I'm not just spitting proverbs or platitudes out to you. I am telling you that your thought, right now, whatever you're thinking, it's going to do something. Remember the movie The Butterfly Effect? That's what this is all about. Every thought you have is doing something in the mundane world. So what does it really mean? What does it really mean when we say every human on the planet has the power to use their thoughts to change events in the mundane world? And do I really mean everyone? Yep, I sure do. You have to understand that where I'm coming from, I believe the universe to be infinite, and I believe all of us to be infinite. I believe that every one of us has the power to do this. And do we have any evidence? In other words, am I just spouting this? Am I just kind of like running across the net, looking at what net gurus say and then spitting this back to you? No. No, not at all. I have had direct experience with this, and I have spent many years investigating it. What I am not going to do is I am not going to tell you all you have to do is change your thought, and you will change your reality, because it's just not going to be that simple.
A lot of people on the web have oversimplified it and said, like, oh, yeah, you just sit down and make a wish. It's oversimplified. There's some work involved. And yeah. I think everybody needs the most important thing is to realize that you have to take responsibility for your own thoughts and actions, and you have to change your world to make it a better place. And in turn, when you're doing that, you'll find that you're changing the global world also and making it a better place to live. If everybody would just take responsibility for their own actions and their own thoughts.
Yeah, Ryan, that's exactly what Gandhi was about when he said, become the change you want to see.
Right.
You know, if you want a better world to live in, then you become the better person.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what Ryan is talking about, folks. You have
going
to
back
do
to the evidence, you know, me myself, just what I said, you know, I've told everybody all my life, I'm going to retire when I'm 35. I'm going to retire when I'm 35. And I did. And that, to me personally, is evidence. Now, maybe to the rest of you out there, it's like, it could be a coincidence. Well, that's true. But, Nevin, isn't there other things that we have that, you know, have evidence?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes I think that, you know, we spend a lot of time actually avoiding looking at the direct evidence. It's all around us constantly. However, there is a very popular piece of evidence, and some of you may be familiar with this. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the Coast to Coast show with Art Bell. And at one time, Art had asked his audience to concentrate on stopping a particular storm. Well, the storm stopped. Now, some people could say, well, they would have stopped even if the audience hadn't done that. But the simple fact is, it did stop. So I'm going to go with, yeah, the listening audience stopped the storm. I don't need any more evidence than that in terms of looking at, can we change events in the mundane world by our thought? But now I'm going to go one step further. Something that very few people know about in the listening audience of the net. You know, they hear these gurus talk about you can change your own reality, all you have to do is change your thoughts, and you can have abundance, and so on and so forth. Well, let me tell you, folks, the actual effect making a change in the mundane world has been going on for years, demonstrated in research, especially pharmaceutical research. What am I talking about? There is a term that some of you may have heard. It's called the placebo effect. Well, for years, that term was kind of bantered about. No one really seemed to know what to do with it. What does it mean, the placebo effect? Let's cover research for a bit. You take a company that wants to demonstrate that its pill, the pill that it developed, can produce a particular effect, such as cure a particular problem. When research is set up, what they do is they take two groups of people. One group is given the specific pill, and another group is given a sugar pill. In other words, the pill has absolutely no scientific meaning. Neither the researchers nor the people who are involved know which pill they're taking. This is called a double-blind study. Now, at the end result of the majority of all these studies, we see a very strange thing taking place. The pill that is supposed to cure something does demonstrate, yes, it cured this particular thing. But the hell of it is that in a group where there are people who take a sugar pill, they also get a small percentage, admittedly small, a small percentage of people who produce an effect. In other words, a cure occurred. This is called the placebo effect. In other words, this change came about, but nobody knows how. It had nothing to do with the pharmaceutical pill. These people weren't taking that. They were just taking a sugar pill. But they got cured. This is something that... Go ahead, Brian.
It was because they believed.
Yes.
Just like what we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
You can call it self-confidence. You can call it belief in yourself. You can call it belief in a higher existence, a higher plane. You can call it superpowers if you want. I don't care. But it's because you believe that you can achieve the things that people do.
Yeah, and the most fascinating part about this in terms of research is that very few people were willing to talk about it. In other words, once the study was done and they found the pill did what they wanted to do, no one went back in and said, yeah, but why the hell did these other people get cured? Shouldn't we be taking a closer look at that? That is what this is all about, folks, creating your own reality. And those people that found that were taking a sugar pill and made a change in the mundane world, but let's call it a change in their physical body, how did they do it? Now, Ryan is telling us, believe. Absolutely. Absolutely. That, in fact, is the cornerstone of all of this. In other words, you have to believe it. You can't do it by just being told. And you can't do it as, oh, here's a quick method on my way to I'm going to become rich. No, there is no easy pill for this. It's going to take work, and you really have to believe it. It's not just a matter of having it in your head. The belief has got to be there, and it's got to be real. But the bottom line is that it's been demonstrated. It's there all the time.
I've told people, Nevin, that a lot of times when I meet people, I tell them, and this goes a lot to speak to the credibility of us or anyone else, you're only what you perceive to be. So if I think Nevin, if I meet Nevin and I go, wow, he's a really great guy, he's really intelligent, he knows a lot, you know, I really like talking to him because, you know, he makes me feel better about, you know, things. That's my perception of him. That's my perception. And to me, that's exactly what Nevin is. I mean, I'm not saying he is, but Nevin could be, you know, a four-time strikeout, you know, been in and out of jail and, you know, is a functioning alcoholic. And that may be the reality of the situation, but the situation is what I perceive him to be is what he is to me. No different than what you perceive myself or Nevin to be is what will be in your mind and what will be in your reality. And that's the basic perceptions we're talking about. With creating your own reality.
Well, this is extremely important, what you're saying, Ryan, and probably should be covered in much greater detail than what we can possibly do on a radio show. What Ryan is bringing up, folks, I'm about to use some words here that I'm probably, I hope I don't confuse the issue, but the reality that you live in right now is a function of perception and not sensory input. I'll cover this a little bit later. There is another way of saying this, and I hope I don't confuse the issue, but everything that you see and view right now is the illusion you created. That's your perception. The word illusion has become kind of like a negative term. We live in the world we created. Well, how did we create it? We created it with what we decided in terms of our perception. If he perceives me in a particular way, then that's what's going to happen. And that's what he's going to get from me is the perception he put there. And he is right. There could be many other sides to this, and different people will perceive me differently. The concept of perception is so important here. It almost is like, my God, where do I begin, and how do I explain to people the difference between the perception of something and the sensory input of something? We would like to believe, some of us would anyway, that the world is all sensory input. In other words, we can objectify everything. Everything has a length and a width, depth
and a label.
And a label. Yeah, exactly, and a label. But it's not that, folks. It really isn't. The world we live in is much, much more than that. And as a matter of fact, if you look at some of the research going back into the early 80s in quantum mechanics, we've come to understand that the world that we have sensory input from at the macro level just does not function the same at the micro level. And I really don't want to get into a conversation about quantum mechanics, but we have come to find out that there is such a thing as the effect of the observer on the outcome. And that is, as something is looked at, it actually changes what happens. And when we demonstrated this in research within quantum mechanics. Well, needless to say, I believe that we have a good demonstration via the placebo effect itself, that our belief, our mind, can make a change in the mundane world. The problem is
with out there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The problem is that there's no control over the placebo effect. But if it worked for one small part of the population, why can't it work for all of the population?
Right.
Why can't we learn how to extend that placebo effect? You know, if you ask the people, how did you do it, they wouldn't be able to answer it. They would simply say, I don't know, I took it, and the problem went away. They have no idea what they did. You know, there's a little offshoot to this, and that is the concept of prayer and the curative aspect of it. A few years back, there actually was quite a bit of study about this. The medical community decided to go beyond the its rather restricted level of surgery and chemistry and started taking a look at things like meditation, prayer, and so on and so forth. And there was a demonstration of improvement. This is another example of, okay, thoughts changing the reality of the mundane world. So it's there. There's no question about it. I mean, it's not like we have to sit down and say, okay, is this real? No, we know it's real. What we don't know is how to control it. And that, folks, is where I hope this show gets to. That we can come up with some foundation of concepts of how can we gain control of this entire creative process. So how do we do this? I mean, we've been on the air now for 30 minutes, and we've talked about everything but that. And, you know, I mean, I some of you might think, oh, the hell, that's just old Nevin spinning his wheels again. He's just an old professor from a university. Look, folks, I actually have an outline in front of me. I had actually written a series of articles that I believe are helpful. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with that series of articles in terms of how to create your own reality. Now, I spent a long, long time thinking about this. I mean, I didn't come up with this last night. It's not like I decided, geez, you know, I think I'll write a book and go out and make $1 million from all the New Age people. No, folks, I don't make 10 cents off of this. I'm an old professor out of the university system. I work in clinical services. I've done a lot of teaching. And so my head just has a tendency to work in the abstract. I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I spent a lot of time writing about it. Not everything I've written is good. Actually, some of it is really bad. What happens, Ryan? You know, you have a thought in your head. You know, here you are, this person is supposed to know what they're talking about. You sit down, you write something, you have a few people read it, and say, oh, my God, does he really believe this crap?
Well, it's somewhere between the mind and the pen and paper, it gets confused, you know?
Yeah.
It was great when you heard it in your head. It was like, oh, yeah, man, let me write that down. And by the time you get that on paper, you're like, well, you know, that doesn't even look right to me. You know, but seriously, folks, I think Nevin did a wonderful job, and he spent a good probably 25 years putting this together. And believe me, it works. I've been there. I've done it. It works. And if you want to change your reality and you want to better your life, we can give you the catalyst to get you there. We didn't invent this. We didn't make it up. It's not ours.
No,
it belongs to the world. And all
yeah.
we're trying to do is help you achieve something.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you don't even have to send us money.
Well, I like to say, gee, you know, I can take some credit for this work and so on and so forth, but, you know, people long before me knew about these things. All I have done to date so far is I put it together in some simple forms that we can understand in today's world. You don't have to be a philosopher, but as we get started here, I'm about to launch into some of the basic concepts, you really have to pay attention. I mean, you really do. And at the front end of this, the learning curve is extremely, extremely steep. I'm not going to to give you a couple of platitudes and say, go out and do this or that and your world is going to change. Hell no. What I'm going to tell you is, if you really want to be able to control that creative process, then you have to work your tail off. And it's going to take some sweat, it's going to take some disappointment, it's going to take some discouragement, but I'm telling you, in the end, you will be in control. And I've done it in my own life. I mean, I see it happen in my own life, I see it happen in the lives of others. If you're willing to put the time in, if you're willing to do the work, this is going to happen. Well, where do we begin? I mean, where do we actually begin to take a hold of this concept of creating your own reality, which, by the way, is kind of a fashionable thing to say, although it seems that many people who preach it really do not have any mechanism for actually achieving it. I'm going to try to present to you some mechanisms for gaining control. Where do we begin? Well, your perceptions, and Brian spoke to this before, your perception of the universe determines your eventual skill at creating your own reality. And it begins with having an understanding of you. It begins with your basic assumptions regarding the nature of the universe and the role you play therein. You can't just jump into, oh, I'm going to create my own reality today. I'm going to have, mega abundance, big check will be in the mail, and then all of a sudden it arrives. No, folks. Most of us are not made up like that. We've had lots of training that tells us we can't do that. Now, we're going to have to untrain some of that. So you have to have a real good understanding of yourself. You have to have an understanding of the nature of the universe and the role that you play in it. What are you within the confines of the universe? And there's a bad term that I just used. Listen to what I just said. Where are you in the confines of the universe? What a terrible thing to say. Because the universe is infinite, so how could it have any confining element to it? So what I just did is I stumbled into that old world thinking. There is no such thing as confinement. Once you understand that you are infinite and the universe is infinite, your world is going to change drastically. And it's your perception of the universe that's going to determine how much you're going to be able to control that creation. Now, Ryan tells us that events unfold in accordance with your perception. In other words, how he perceives me. Events will unfold with he and I in terms of his perception. Now, if you act and see yourself as a victim, then events will unfold to ensure the continuation of that victim role. There's no question about it. If you walk around with your head down, go ahead, Brian, were you saying something?
I was just going to say, you see it day in and day out. Everybody plays the role of the victim. And I mean, I was in the same place as everyone else. You know, and I came across many different net gurus and everybody out there. You know, all you have to do is you know, think this, and you'll have $1 million and yada yada yada. And I've studied all that. I've gone out there. I've even spent money studying things like that. You know, I've gone to seminars. But I'm here to tell you, folks. You know, you don't have to buy this from anybody. You don't have to. You know. To go out there and spend tons of money, and if you do, most likely you're probably getting a raw deal. And don't just take what, even me and Nevin, don't take what we say for granted. Don't just say, oh, okay, well, they said it, so it must be true. Because it's in print or because somebody says it to you doesn't mean it's true. Investigate it. Look at it. Try some stuff. You know, like we're saying, your perceptions of who and how and what you're dealing with is going to unfold. It's going to do that, but it's going to take you, not us, it's going to take you to believe. You know, just like you were saying, you and I were talking, and you were talking about self, have you ever heard of self-fulfilling prophecies? You know, and people were always saying, like, look at, very famous Kung Fu, Bruce Lee. How they said the family was cursed and, you know, everything. And
oh, yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic example.
What happened? He died, didn't he? And then his son died. But again, That's because you're creating your own reality, because you're saying this is what's going to happen. And if you're very fearful of something, you know, you're still putting it out there. You know, it, even in married life, you know, if you're running around and you're always saying, you know, my wife's cheating on me or my husband's cheating on me, you know, oh gosh, and you're always constantly thinking that, well, guess what's going to happen? That's going to happen. I don't care if you're married to an ex-nun. It's going to happen because you're making it happen. You know, and you need to know that. And that's part of being the role of a victim that everybody's always teaching you, that you have to work hard for money. You have to get out there and you got to bust your butt. You have to work hard for a relationship. You have to work hard for your friendships. That's not true. It's not true.
No, it's not true at all.
You make it that way.
The role of the victim comes about in so many subtle ways. One of the examples that I see, especially in the New Age movement, I'm about to use a term here that I don't think has been used before. I'm going to call it organizational spirituality. Okay, you've heard of organized religion? Well, now I want to spend a moment here on the victim role of what happens with organized spirituality. Let's talk about that for a second, because this is an essential part of learning how to gain control of the creative process. As an example, and I'm not trying to belittle anyone or what they're doing. I'm simply telling you what's going to happen to you by thinking in a certain way. As an example, let's talk about crystals, okay? The New Age type people love to talk about quartz crystals, the energy emanating from them, and so on and so forth. What are we saying, okay? If we limit the conversation to, well, gee, you know, if you hit the back of a crystal, you'll get an energy discharge out of the front. And it's true, folks. You take a large crystal and hit the back of it with a hammer, you will see an electrical discharge out the front. It does happen. The problem is that people have taken this one step further, and they start saying, well, in order to achieve a particular event in your life, you have to have this or that crystal. Uh-oh. What happens? You have just made yourself a victim. A victim of what? You made yourself a victim by perceiving the world you live in as being uncontrollable, and that you need something outside of yourself to stop this uncontrolled event. What I'm telling you is that as long as you start putting your faith and your beliefs in things outside of yourself, such as crystals or aromatherapy or candle therapy or what Nevin is saying or what Ryan is saying, you're making a victim of yourself. You're taking on the victim role. You're taking on the role of, oh, save me. Somebody help me. This crystal helped me. This magnet helped me. This pill helped me. This doctor helped me. This radio show helped me. This seminar helped me. Every one of those fosters the victim role. It happens every time you put a pill in your mouth. What are you saying? You're saying you can no longer control the outcome of your physical world, so you must do this, must do that. Now, am I telling you not to take the pill? Folks, it'd be stupid to tell you that. For now, we are at our infancy in controlling our reality. So you have to do things like take certain pills, or you're going to die, because you don't know how to do the alternative, and frankly, right now, neither do I. I know some of it, as an example. How did I make a change from pills? Well, let's do a little sidetrack here. last fall, I went to the VA, and the VA tells me, well, Nevin, you are really overweight. You have a terrible cholesterol problem. You're going to have to take this pill and that pill. Let me tell you, folks, I don't know if any of you have experienced statin drugs, but I have this really bad reaction to them. It kind of ties my muscles in knots. And the doctors at the VA were trying to get this cholesterol number down. I, like everybody else, I took the pill, you know, but eventually they wound up with a pill. They said, well, this doesn't work the same. This particular pill works a little bit differently. It works directly in your digestive system. You shouldn't have any reaction. Well, I didn't have any reaction, but the damn number still didn't go down. So now the doctors are telling me, well, we're really concerned about the cholesterol, therefore we probably should be worried about your heart. We're going to refer you to a cardiologist. Why the hell am I seeing a cardiologist? We started talking about cholesterol. As far as I knew, there was nothing wrong with my heart. But anyway, the VA decides, okay, you got to go.
Kids need shoes.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, here I am going off to a cardiologist. Well, anyway, I went to the first one. And the cardiologist says to me, he says, you know, he says, the real problem is not the cholesterol pill. The real problem is you can control the cholesterol. Now, listen, folks, I got a cardiologist telling me this. He said, all you have to do is get rid of that 40 pounds and exercise 30 minutes a day. And I'm looking at him, I'm saying, you mean after all these years you're telling me that all I have to do is diet and exercise and I can get rid of these problems? And he says, yep. Well, after all the grief I'd been through with doctors and cholesterol problems and so on and so forth, I took him up on it. I said, okay, there has got to be a better way to get through this world than taking these stupid pills. So I made a start. I decided I was going to gain control of this process. Now, was it easy? Hell no. Eventually, this show will discuss diet and exercise. But let me tell you, folks, it was hard work. I mean, I spent many years sitting on my butt doing nothing, getting fat, and never exercising. But I decided I'm going to try this out. The
you
learning
were a
curve
officer
was
too, Nevin.
Said
you were a police officer too. Because you know, I mean, that's kind of what I did.
Sit around on my butt? No,
yeah.
No, just an old university professor who did a lot of sitting around. But what did happen? Once I, you know, put my mind to it, I started a variety of different types of diets until I could find something that seemed reasonable. I joined a gym. I'm not going to stretch this out. To make a long story short, in about 5 months, that's 6 months, I lost 35 pounds. As a matter of fact, I'm down 40 pounds now. Got in very good shape, so on and so forth. Went to the VA just about 4 weeks ago. The doctor was looking at me. He says, geez, that things have changed considerably. Your cholesterol is way down. The lab reports are good. He's looking at me. And, I mean, it was obvious to him that, you know, my body had changed. I had been working out, so on and so forth. So what am I saying? I'm saying at the simplest level of existence, you can make changes in your life, but you have to do the work. Now, is this like, okay, how did thought change the mundane world? Hey, it was in my head. I decided it. I made the decision. The thought worked itself into action. I took action, and it happened. I am no longer on cholesterol pills.
And you believe you could do it.
Say that again?
And you believed that you believed.
Oh, absolutely.
This is going to be the end result of me doing this.
Yeah, I had it in my head.
Two very important things with that. One, you believed. You believed enough that this was going to happen. And one of the even more important things is you took action. You didn't just sit there. You took action. And you said, I believe this is going to be what I do. And then you took action. And, folks, that's another step in the process. Not only do you have to first believe, and you've got a couple assumptions you can choose from, but you got to believe in one. And you got to believe it. You got to feel it. You got to very strongly, very passionately believe in it. And then you have to get off your duff and take action.
Yeah,
that,
like the Nike advertisement says, you've got to just do it.
Just do it. See, Nike, send a check to Woodland Star Radio. That's
I could wish, right? Well, what we're talking about is what I did essentially was I denied the victim role. I just simply denied that my body would not be under my control. I simply denied it as a victim. I would no longer continue in that victim role. And I took on a different role. The role I took on is the role of being in control of my life space. Well, it worked, folks. I took that role on, and I did the work. I mean, you got to do the work. and the events unfolded, which ensured the continuation of my taking charge of that role. So today, after, I don't know, 6-7 months have gone by, whatever, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm down 40 pounds. My clothing size has changed. Well, some of you are saying, well, what the hell, Nevin? All you're really talking about is you went on a damn diet. Well, it goes a little bit beyond that, folks. It wasn't just diet. What I really had to do is I had to change my lifestyle. I've been on many diets in my life. I've always been a fat person. If you just go on a diet and you just exercise, are you going to lose weight? Yes. Will it stay off? No. I had to make some basic changes in my lifestyle, one of which was I was no longer going to feel victimized by my body. I was going to take charge, and I did. So if you see yourself as a victim of your body, if you see yourself as a victim of disease, by God, you're going to continue to have that disease, and you're going to continue to be victimized by that body, because that's exactly what you're requesting. You are telling the universe, oh, do this to me, do that to me. Folks, how many times have you run across people throughout the day that they seem like they walk around with a cloud over their head? No matter when you talk to them, there's always a disaster going on. They're getting divorced, they're losing their money, their kids are running away. No matter when you talk to them, there's always a disaster. And you wonder, how could anybody be that, quote, unlucky? Well,
they're very religious.
Yeah, they are religious.
I mean,
have
you ever met a religious person that's not broke and hurt all the time? You know, don't get me wrong, people, I am not knocking religion. You know what? Okay, I am. I have a thing against organized religion, because organized religion, they divide. You know, you've got Catholic, Protestant, you know, Nazarene, Baptist, you got all these different ones, but every single one says, hey, you got to come with us. If you don't come with us, you're going to hell. You know, they're dividing. And likewise, like you had said something about organized spirituality, it's the same way.
Oh, absolutely.
They're trying to divide.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that brings us right back to what we're saying, the discipline. You know, you have to have a discipline, you know, to be able to do this. You have to have the self-confidence. You have to empower yourself to have the discipline to follow through to make this work.
Well, when it comes to division, whether we're talking about organized religion or organized spirituality, it's going to be very divisive. And it's not only divisive between people, it's divisive between you and your self-awareness. That's how you turn into a victim. Don't let anything interfere with the process of you gaining control, and you do not need anything outside of yourself. What I'm telling you is that you can get rid of the victim role as soon as you start believing in yourself, but you have to act it. You have to act and see yourself as in control of your life space. And at first it's going to seem, you know, kind of phony to you, you know, like, well, this doesn't really feel right. I don't care how it feels at the moment when you try it. I'm telling you that over time, if you keep the role up, if you keep the act up, the new show, the new act, it's going to happen. You will get rid of that victim role, and you will gain control of your life space, but you really, really have to get rid of feeling like a victim. Now, the role of the victim, in terms of creating your own reality, it inhibits a lot of things, and the role of the victim occurs in many areas. As I've been kind of harping on, you know, your physical body, but let's talk about the role of a victim for a second in terms of relationships. How many times have you said, he makes me feel like this, or she makes me feel like that, or he made me do this, or she made me do that? Hey, folks, there's only one person in control of you, and that's you. You are in the driver's seat. Now, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes you might like to say, oh, geez, I'm really getting tired of taking responsibility for myself. I think I'll blame it on my husband, my wife, my brother-in-law, my mother-in-law. Hey, folks, you have to accept responsibility. Nobody can make you feel a damn thing. You have to make a decision about it. If you believe that you're not making the decision, that's when you're a victim. Everything that you feel, every emotion in you, it's coming from you. You make the decision.
But, you know, that brings up a good point, Nevin. Let's delve a little bit deeper. Who are you?
Essential question here. Ryan has brought it to the essence, and we're kind of running out of time. We have spent our 55 minutes. and we have gotten up to the point of discussing how we learn the role of the victim and who is responsible for how it feels. But we don't have enough time left to get into any more in-depth discussion of who are you. We're going to have to leave that for next time. So I will say to Seth, our station manager, we are about to sign off. Ryan, do you have any last parting words that you want to share with the audience?
Just listen to the show, take it for what it's worth, go out, make the achievements, follow through.
And I'm going to add to that this learning curve is steep, so be prepared for some real sweat. Next week, we will get into some of the more basic aspects of creating your own reality. So far tonight, we covered the victim role, but we've got a long ways to go. Also, next week, we have a little surprise. We have a guest. Ryan, can you speak about that for a second? Who our guest might be?
Wambui Bahidi is going to be on. She is known as Miss Inspiration. She has a wonderful website. She's worked in Broadway theater, motivational speaking. She has a very powerful message in the way that she has brought herself from where she was at to where she is now, and we're going to interview her the 19th, which will be next Sunday. And also, if you need notes on the show or if you would like to find out more about her, you can go to our website that is at woodlandstarsradio.com, and you'll find all that, or if you'd like to contact Nevin or myself or whomever, you can find it there. And with that, I leave it back to you guys.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you for listening. This is Nevin and Ryan wishing you the best adventure of your life. Good evening.